Journal Sir David Thorne. Reel 12. What was the terrain like around Salla where you were exercising?
Very flat. We had to go some distance before we got to near the border. We got more sort of hilly country. And then we had to go south and west before we got to the river with the Arab below the Tsar land, where we had this lovely, lovely sort of semi-mindfulness, rolling hills, which becomes so much easier, in fact, if you ever had to find a wall, so much easier to defend. Whereas of course, the classic main road into Germany and through Germany over the centuries has always been the North German terrain, and that's where we were.
What was the war role of the battalion?
It was as part of an armoured brigade to and as part of a Panzerist armoured division to defend, actually, to defend the border area. And the border area, I don't know what the division was then, I know what it was in 1985, I doubt it didn't change all that much. And certainly, an infantry battle group who we were part of, an armored brigade, which was the second armored brigade, David West, which was at the heart of this defence of that area between, and I need to get a name out of Germany, but between Little Hamburg and perhaps it was but anyway, we're talking about the area between Verden and Salla, and the south of Salla, Hanover.
What?
In fact, Hanover was a critical area to defend.
What kind of operations were you going to conduct in this defence? Because from what you've been saying, it sounds as though you were not practising defensive warfare, you were practising the offensive.
Well, no, we were practising a lot. Mm. We were practising all the phases of war, including defence, but more of a mobile defence. We were prepared to defend and then have sticks and move and then defend again. So as an attritional defensive battle, also using helicopters, we got involved in a major exercise called Exercise Helltank in 1965, which was extremely interesting and was umpired, and we had the defence scientific establishment at
Byfleet, West Byfleet, Dera.
Yeah, Dera. Mm. They were out there in numbers. It was really hard exercise. Mm. I remember on that exercise, when something was physically about it, that I had hallucinations. They kept awake so long. And then in the dawn of one of the days, I thought I was actually awake, and things were happening so lifelike around me that actually I was hallucinating. And I was actually asleep. And that taught me a lesson about getting sufficient sleep. You can drive yourself so far, there's a certain point where your body takes over.
How long can you go without sleep before your efficiency disappears?
I think everyone differs. I think if you're really frightened or really excited, you're talking about catnapping, you can probably go for a long time. But actually, without any sleeping, going with, communicating and thinking and coordinating and getting fire planned out and all that sort of stuff, and people feeding you tea and blah, 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 and food, I would suspect you can go for up between 24 and 36 hours, and then suddenly you're hit by it. I made a grave mistake on one of these exercises. And we got to the Vosa, and we're doing a river crossing. And then we got across the far side, and I got all my ABCs across this river, which is quite an achievement at night. And we got the far side, I offered a pot of whiskey, and I took it and I tried it slowly. And I straightened my head, it was extremely tired, and I then had to concentrate like mad for the next 2 hours until it got to the alcohol disappeared. So I think, again, that's another time I've learned a lesson about myself. Don't take alcohol when you're very tired. Clean yourself.
What was the role of the 432s when you were actually in defence then? I mean, how would you...
Well, you had them in reserve, you dug them in, and frequently you dug them in, right? Mm. And dug them in close to yourself, because they gave you good protection. Mm. And so you dig in there as easy as possible, right on your position, if you can camouflage it sufficiently well. And then you didn't know the position, you harboured them back where they were secure. You can move forward rapidly into the ammunition respond, all those sort of things. Mm. And just like the tanks, you'd be up on the position, dug in, and you know, in a sense, concealed as far as possible. Like that. So, on the position, if possible, and if it liked it, if it didn't, then off the position, and you just had you had to try and not be convenient about it. You had to do what was right in the place to do. It's very convenient to have the APC, because you don't have to debus everything. All your food, all your rent, all our equipment, and move those weapons.
Your team making facility.
Yeah, so it's exactly. A team making facility is extremely important on Thursday.
And presumably, then, the things would be there to take you out if it was decided to withdraw.
Absolutely, you withdraw. Yeah. That's why you'd be pretty flexible about how you rank, as long as you can get your APCs dug in. Now that required one of these engineer equipment to dig in and do it very quickly. But of course, it's a massive spoil.
It's hard to camouflage that, isn't it?
Balance it out.
Yeah.
And so, exactly, maybe you have to use strategies about concealing and deciding where you will actually fight your battle, you place your position, your advanced position, because if it's not friendly to APCs being up there and they're going to be attacked, and that increases your time delays and getting down to get early and getting double in the development.
If you were doing a withdrawal of that sort with the APCs close up, would you do it in the same sort of sequence as you would if you'd been on foot?
Your withdrawal.
When I understand the daytime, the last troops to break contact are the forward ones, but at night time you try and pull them back through your rear or reserve platoon, don't you? Leapfrog them back.
So far away, but I don't know. I can't remember there being any problems like that. You just, in a sense, depending upon where the enemy was, and what you want to do is not to alert him if possible. So you've got a very high percentage of what you want to get away.
Well, that seemed to me to be another difficulty, that if you're attempting a withdrawal by stealth, which is probably the best way of breaking contact, it's done better on foot than by vehicle.
It is indeed, and so there's a real logic to withdrawing your APCs at some stage of convenience, maybe during the day, and having another section plan so you see the APCs going. And maybe you bring some of them back and just go. They can't go back at where they are, but basically you've got them, in a sense, able to run, come forward to the reverse
pickup point.
So, on the position if possible, extracted from the position where they were exposed early on. And I think that's about it, really.
Roughly how far back would you consider it tolerable to have them? You know.
Well, I think it depends upon the ground. But if it's a wide open space, and if you've got to the ground, then you're going to have them behind that wide open space. They can move pretty quick to come forward. You do need a noise when they come forward, so you hear from the only way if it's quiet. So all of these things are sort of factors in deciding where you're going to have them.
You mentioned this exercise held tank using helicopters. What was the role of the helicopters in that exercise?
It was anti-tank. was the first anti-tank scientific exercise in seeing the efficiency of helicopters against tanks.
What sort of weapon were they using against the tanks?
They had some form of a guided missile.
Was it one of the wire guided?
Yeah.
Would it be tow or hot or something like that?
Not hot. It might have been tow.
Tow. Mm.
But whatever it was, the real issue was to work out how you operate on the ground against helicopters. And certainly, the helicopters operate against you. Mm. And it was very heavily umpired. Mm. So that people got a really good proper fix on how good these helicopters were.
In your view, remembering back to that exercise, would they have been effective as an anti-tank system at that time?
If there'd been sufficient dogging, inevitably. It's having sufficient dogging and then being flown sufficiently well.
And what could be done by the troops on the ground to minimise the effect of this sort of attack?
Well, first of all, helicopters would be shot down. So they can do quite a lot, and even more effective than GPMGs is cannons from a tank. So the tanks, as well as the ship down these helicopters, so they've got to be flown very tactically. That happened actually. Yeah, they were very well flown. I can remember that.
Do you remember who they were? Was this Army Air Corps or?
And there's quite a lot of secondments from a number of other armies, because they were all learning at the time. So, it's deliberate.
So this is a multinational exercise?
It was a British exercise, but quite a lot of people responded, and in fact, quite a lot of the Commonwealth countries.
So it was foreign participation in a British exercise?
Yes, that's right. And I remember there was, for instance, a company of the New Zealand, company of New Zealand infantry came out to that exercise, which is very nice.
What was life like in Germany?
For us, having not been there for years, it was excellent because all the advanced training was new, all the training was new. It was a constant process of enlivening, exciting situations. But I think for those that had been there 5 or 6 years, a day or before, it was a very sort of negative situation. We worked very hard indeed to keep us on the ground.
Because it was deadening with
the same exercises, but there were some differences. They had done the worst training, all of that. And so, I don't know how the time is going with that, but really, I think Germany was one of the major problems of the British Army in the 1960s and 70s. Because it was so convenient, so on a whole relatively well done, and they were never frightened.
I was going to ask you whether or not you felt at the time that there was a serious threat of aggressive action by the Warsaw Pact forces.
We played it up as much as we could. But I don't think since 1956 there'd been anything more than the position, the situation where there was a fight. People were constantly using it and using it to their best ability to keep people in a healthy state at the moment. I didn't at all. We did go and see them. I used to encourage my company to take opportunities and go and see the Russians at the border. So that was a very good experience for them and for me. I like the Russians over there. Very human, very humorous, very predictable. You make a good British soldier.